The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Friday, March 12th, and this is a mailbag podcast. If you want your question answered about a team, player, situation, golf question, baseball question, what's it like to tear your ACL? What's it like to have a, how old's your child, Breach?
11 months.
11-month-old child and never change a diaper. If you have questions like that and you want them answered, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcast with your question and we will answer it. Anything, no topic is out of bounds. Asterisks, some topics may be out of bounds. John Breach, Ryan Wilson, what's up, fellas?
Hey. Happy, what's today? Friday.
Yeah. That was weird. A different place a year ago.
Yeah, apparently.
Isn't it the 1-year anniversary of when the whole world turned upside down?
But yeah. As we said at the time, we were already in our basements and offices at that moment, and we remain there no matter how the outside world is doing.
It's the 1-year anniversary of the folks at HQ jamming us with a 3-month show for on free agency because there were no other sports going on, as well as some degenerates who will remain nameless, Eric K., the 1-year anniversary of betting on Russian ping pong because there are no other sports to bet on. And marble racing.
And you know what? It was so exciting and thrilling, I still bet on Russian ping pong to this day.
You know what? I won a marble race last Friday. Oh, we did a virtual marble race.
Still doing it.
It's fun, man. It takes you back.
Go outside.
Look at my face. I'm torched. I went outside all day today.
Joke's on you. I was betting on marble racing while outside.
And since you were out, you won a ton of money.
Oh, man. Dickie V, his voice, March Madness. Oh, the Players' Championship is going on right now, and dudes are hitting balls onto the island green and missing badly. Splunk. All right, let's dive in the feed. By the way, you can check out the NFC West Offseason Priority podcast with Brian McFadden coming up next week. Of course, free agency. The tampering window starts on Monday, and there is the new league year on Wednesday. So we will have evening recaps. We will not be dropping these at 3 a.m. like Top Shot, packs or anything like that. We will be dropping them in the evening, and then Debo and I will go back to working on our Top Shot collections while Ryan screams at a cloud. By the way, it's not often that the greatest college football coach, arguably anyway, in the history of football, sits down for a 30-minute podcast conversation, but that is exactly what 7-time national champion Nick Saban did this week on All Things Covered, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Saban chatted with the hosts and two guys that he recruited, Patrick Peterson and our good friend Brian McFadden, about Pat P's infamous non-interception versus Bama in 2009, Saban's philosophy at the quarterback position, possible college football playoff expansion, and much more, including an interesting tidbit about Drew Brees and how close they were to signing him. So make sure and give it a listen. All Things Covered, available wherever you find your podcast, including this podcast. Let's go to the
mailbag.
That's so good, Breach. Great info, better banter. I love this pod. This is from Kat Hasselback. presumably the third brother of the Hasselbeck family. I love this podcast.
And or maybe it's Matt Hasselbeck's cat.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's with a K.
Cats don't know how to spell. They're cats.
Don't they? My wife thinks that my dog has feelings. He's a dog.
Possible. Dogs do have feelings. There's a difference between feelings and being able to spell the word cat. I don't know what you're confused about there.
Do you think insects
kick your dog to find out? You know, it's going to get angry and bark.
My problem, like, she's like, he won't stop doing this and that. It's like, well, then you have to discipline him. She's like, but he has feelings. You can't discipline a dog. It's like, you can't train a dog unless you train a dog. Your dog won't be trained until you train the dog. Anyway, back to Cat Hasselbeck. I love this podcast. It helps me get through my workday. Brinson is hilarious. You bet.
This is a Brinson burner account.
Has to be.
Breach is fine. Nobody cares about kickers, LOL. And as a black man myself, it defies all logic that Ryan Wilson is black. But okay, I will take your word for it, LOL.
That made me laugh. That was a good one. I like
cackling. Mailbag question. Is Alex Smith the most successful NFL player in terms of money? The man has signed $300 million contract, seems like. He got the old rookie deal every penny, and he signed an extension with the Chiefs and Washington. If your goal is just to make money and not necessarily be a champion in the NFL, it seems like Alex Smith is the blueprint. Interesting question.
Yeah, it is interesting. You know what? As soon as I read this question, the first thing I thought, and I had to look it up to figure out if it was correct, the first name that came to mind for not any success, but making a ton of money, Matthew Stafford. He's just been out in Detroit. They don't get anywhere in the playoffs. I don't think they've ever made it out of the wild card round with him. And he's number one overall pick in 2009. So over the course of his career, and this does not include what he'll make in 2021. So this is just through 2020. He has made $226 million, which is the ninth highest total in NFL history. Alex Smith is actually 10th at $189 million. So I'm giving the title.
10th of quarterbacks or 10th all time?
10th all time out of any position.
Where are you getting that? I was looking on SpotTrack.
I am getting it from my trusty list that I made by calculating every contract that went out for the past 40 years.
You could have called SpotTrack. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you are looking on SpotTrack.
What, you thought he added it all up? This is a man who thinks cats can spell, dogs doesn't have feelings, and breach added up every single person's contract in the history.
Why am I missing Alex Smith on here?
Because you have to click the button that says all time as opposed to active.
It only shows you active players, and they have him as inactive since he's not on the team right now.
There we go. I was wondering where the Manning brothers were. What is happening here? It is interesting that Eli, fourth all time, actually made more on the field than Peyton did. And while those guys are the wealthiest of all time in terms of earnings, a lot of that is fueled by their excessive endorsements. Papa John's, Timex, Eli's adult diaper line.
Hot sauce too.
I mean, obviously, we could point out that Philip Rivers could qualify here.
No. I think Philip Rivers has had more success.
Okay.
And I think that's where, because
Philip Rivers has been to an AFC title game, you know, like Matthew Stafford has never made it. Matthew Stafford's never won a playoff game. You know, we hear that about Andy Dalton all the time, but somehow Matthew Stafford has avoided that conversation, even though he was a number one overall pick, who only led the Lions to the playoffs, I think, three times, and they went 0-3.
May I suggest, I mean, look, based on the raw numbers, yes, Matthew Stafford works. May I humbly suggest that Sam Bradford deserves at least a discussion here, because he's 16th all time for quarterbacks. One spot behind Brett Favre, who's in the Hall of Fame. Bradford made $130 million in his NFL career. Like did they make the playoffs that one year, his first year?
That one year.
I mean, he was traded all around. I mean, I like Bradford. I thought he could have been better, but I mean,
but part of the reason that, and this actually does include Matthew Stafford as well. Alex Smith is on that. Well, I guess it does include Bradford too. That's right. They're all on the old deals for the rookie contracts, because 05 is this one. So that didn't happen to 2011 with Cam Newton, I think.
Which is kind of remarkable that Cam Newton is 18th, despite, you know, not having, played on the old CBA deal. And Sam Bradford never made the playoffs. I think if you were doing like a
there's a little Oh boy. A disclaimer there. He actually made the playoffs. He went 2-0 with the Vikings in 2017, got injured. Case Keenum took over, and they went to the NFC. He was undefeated that year. We got to give him a little bit of credit. And then he got injured, and then Keenum took him to the NFC title game.
Yeah, because that was the year that the Eagles traded him when because Teddy Bridgewater blew out his knee. The Eagles felt that Carson Wentz was good enough to start, and they traded Sam Bradford to Minnesota for a first-round pick.
Hey, listen to this. I was thinking about this the other day. Because I heard somewhere, I was just reminded, of course, that Carson Wentz is going to be the starting quarterback for the Colts. Imagine if 2 years, I think it was 2 years ago, if someone said 2 years ago when Andrew Luck had yet to retire, hey, man, 2 years from now, Carson Wentz is going to be the starting quarterback for the Colts. Like, what would have to happen in your mind? Like, what are the gymnastics you're doing that, okay, like, does Andrew Luck get hit by an asteroid? Like, does Carson Wentz have him put a hit out? Like, what happens?
That's a good point. I mean, imagine going back in time the week before Andrew Luck retires, because it was right before training camp, right? It was in August. Was it even in September?
I think it was in August because Sean.
Yeah, it was in August. It was at the end of August.
Late August. Yeah, Sean was out having drinks, and Wilson will never forgive him for it.
Because we're trying to do a podcast. He's like, I'll be home in 2 hours. But anyway, go ahead.
But. I mean, that was, I mean, obviously pre-pandemic. Imagine like breaking down to go the week before Andrew Luck retires. You go to someone like, listen, here's what's going to unfold over the course of the next 2 years. And by the way, Carson Wentz will be the starting quarterback for the Colts. No one would.
You could throw in
the next 2 years in life and with the Colts quarterback situation.
If August 1st, 2019, you say Wentz is the Colts quarterback. You don't know what's going on with Andrew Luck, and you say Jared Goff's not with the Rams anymore because this is 6 months after he led them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Your mind's even more blown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. That's a great point. So I think if you're doing like the Mount Rushmore here, I think the nod is to Stafford. And I agree. Like you can't put Matt Ryan on
the Mount Mushmore.
Mount Mushmore. Yeah. That's Mount Cashmore.
Mount Cashmore. That's good.
Thank you. Matt Ryan. You know, doesn't have a. We're not going to just do guys who don't have Super Bowls because that's not fair. Matt Ryan has an MVP, went through a Super Bowl. Phillip Rivers, very, you know, one game away from a Super Bowl. Stafford's up there. Alex Smith has playoff runs though.
Runs? He went in Kansas City.
Playoff limps.
They never went. Kaepernick started that year. He started halfway through the season, I think. I think that year they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Ravens. Alex Smith started and then Kaepernick took over for him. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
He has 7 playoff games, 2-5 in the playoffs. Is that enough to get him off the list?
No, because I think the contract that the football team took on for him was so out of the ordinary insane for.
I mean, well, he went to an NFC championship game, right? Yeah.
He's a slightly above replacement level.
The 49ers lost the NFC title game in 2011 that they should have won. I was actually at that game in the stadium as a fan, and that was where I think the 49ers fumbled 2 punt returns, and that set up 2 Giants touchdowns, and those were the only 2 touchdowns the Giants scored. And then,
I guess what I'm saying is I can't believe I'm doing this, but is... So Alex Smith going to an NFC championship game in 2011 doesn't equate to whatever Phillip Rivers did.
No, I think they're different conversations.
Okay.
I mean, right. No one's talking about you're driving.
And we should throw out real quick. All 5 of his playoff losses were by 1 score.
Mm. You're driving the Phillip Rivers as a Hall of Famer bandwagon. No one's driving that for Alex Smith.
Okay. That's fair. All right. So Stafford is the patron saint of. Money with no success. Although I believe he'll flip that, this year.
I have an honorable mention.
I still think Alex Smith is ahead of Matthew Stafford. I think Matthew Stafford is a victim of circumstance in large part, not a victim of, don't make that face at me, Breach.
No, Matthew Stafford, your number 1 overall pick. You create the circumstance. You win a playoff. He has not won a playoff game, Ryan. How can you put him ahead of Alex?
You know, the other
Stafford's one? Stafford's also got, he's at 226 in 12 seasons. Smith's at 189 in 16 seasons.
You know the other number 1 overall pick with 0 playoff wins? Joe Burrow. He's on the list.
Put him on the list!
I thought for sure you were going to say Andy Dalton. I was mentally prepared for that one. Joe Burrow.
A name that we haven't mentioned who has to be on here, Kirby Cousins.
But he is a 4th-round pick who's done more with less.
He's 14th all-time in quarterback earnings.
Yeah, but I think part of the issue, and Brees touched on it with Stafford, he was number one overall. Like, he was the second quarterback taken by football team that year, Kirby Cousins.
Yeah, but the question didn't have to do with the draft pick. It was, who's the most successful player in terms of money that has done, like...
And in fact, if you think about Cousins at $140 million, like, he was on the new CBA and was a fourth-round pick. So you're talking, you know, he's starting like $80 million behind Matthew Stafford and is like kind of closed the gap a little bit here. Bradford. So those would be the big four.
Jay Cutler. I already said it.
Carson Palmer.
Carson?
No, he went to the AFC Championship game until the Steelers killed him.
You're just bitter because he retired.
What? That was the wild card round. He didn't get to the AFC title game. He made it to the NFC title game with the Cardinals.
There you go.
I'll tell you who is creeping on this list.
Carson Palmer needs to be on this list.
Oh, stop it. I mean, where is he? What's he?
$91 million is 25th all time. Jimmy G, 26th all time. Matt Schaub, 24th all time. Incredible. All right, let's move on.
All right.
Oh, so, my honorable mention though, real quick, was Chase Daniel, who's made $37 million, only 5 starts in his career.
He's not being a second. He should be like number two on the list. I mean, that's a
good point.
That's exactly the type of player you're talking about. You don't know how to do lists.
That is right? A dream job. You don't, your body is in near perfect condition.
He is most certainly a scratch golfer.
Exactly. By all accounts, I haven't met him or interviewed him at length, but I've interacted briefly with him at the Super Bowl. Really, really nice guy.
Great. I love nice people. All right,
5 stars plus mailbag. Discovered this pod last summer. I've listened to every episode since.
Jeez, so peace.
Thanks. This is from Fight on Dan via Apple Podcast. It is my go-to for all things NFL. Question. If you were the GM of an expansion franchise and had your choice of the following on how to start your franchise in the draft, what would you choose? Option A, take the quarterback prospect who is labeled as once in a generation, Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence type prospect, or option B, your choice of any non-QB offensive prospect and your choice of any defensive prospect, both of whom project to be all pros at their respective positions. Wilson, as our junior draft analyst, thoughts first.
I mean, this seems pretty easy to me. You're taking the quarterback. You can have Chase Young and Joey Bosa and Joe Thomas and Julio Jones all day long. But if you got Duck Hodges or Ryan Finley throwing them the ball, it doesn't matter. Especially if you're throwing the ball to Chase Young and he's played defensive end. But my point stands. You take Joe Burrow, you take Andrew Luck, you take this year Trevor Lawrence, and then you worry about the rest of that stuff later.
It also depends, Breach, I think, on, like, for me, the qualification of the way that it's being framed in terms of the prospect who's once in a generation. So if you're giving me Peyton Manning, John Elway, Andrew Luck or Trevor Lawrence, it's a no-brainer. You're taking that. I mean, it's why the Colts turned down the Browns, Herschel Walker offer in 2012 for that number one pick because you just take the quarterback.
2012? Why'd you say 2012?
Yeah. Mike Holmgren offered Ryan Grigson his entire draft over iced tea at the pool.
Oh, I see. Not for Herschel Walker.
The Herschel Walker style deal. Yeah.
Like Herschel Walker was 50.
It's not a very good trade offer.
And even if you have one of the best defensive players, one of the best offensive players, that doesn't guarantee you success. And I would use the Houston Texans as an example. Before they had drafted Deshaun Watson, they had DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best receivers in football. They had J.J. Watt, who was in his prime at the time, and they weren't winning Super Bowls with those two guys. So I think you have a better chance. And just because you get that generational quarterback doesn't mean you're going to win a Super Bowl, but I think you have a better chance of getting to a Super Bowl and maybe winning if you have the generational quarterback versus having the top non-QB offensive guy or just the top defensive guy.
I would concur with that. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not a crazy idea. I think that it needs to be. I think if you were going to go for the prospect route, it would need to be you get a random first round quarterback from the last 10 years. You don't know who it is. It's like randomly spits out a name. Would you do that or would you take two Pro Bowl prospects?
Or would you rather have a kicker who can hit an 80-yard field goal 100% of the time?
An 80-yard field goal?
An 80-yard field goal 100% of the time or like the ninth best quarterback in the NFL.
Why stop at 80 since you're making stuff up? Why not make it 110?
Well, because we've seen people hit 80. We've never seen 110 in practice. Justin Tucker has video of him hitting 79.
If you had a quarterback, if you had a kicker who could make an 80 yard field goal 100% of the time, which is the stupidest thing anyone's ever said, how soon would you kick the field goal?
Well, I mean, you're basically in field goal range. All you have to do
is try to score touchdowns and risk a turnover, or just kick on first down.
All you have to do is get 5 yards. So a touchback takes you to the 25 now. 25, so you get 5 yards, you're in field goal range after a touchback.
I mean, I can't believe we're having this conversation.
I think you could win the Super Bowl without a quarterback if you had a kicker who could make an 80-yard field goal, because you would take the touchback, you would run, you would just get 5 yards. You have two or three plays to get 5 yards, and then you just kick the field goal and play defense.
What are we doing?
I mean, if you could do it,
Wilson? Brinson would take the kicker over the ninth best quarterback of the NFL.
Ninth best quarterback of all time.
Remember, like in the 90s, like in high school, or younger, you would try to watch like Cinemax Between the Fuzzy Lines and cable.
Yeah.
Instead of doing that, Breach was coming up with these crazy plans of these robot kickers that could never miss a field goal. That's what Breach was doing.
I mean, imagine making an 80-yard field goal 100%
of the time.
It's ridiculous.
Here's the thing. You can do that, but he can't go into the Hall of Fame. just to spite you.
Yeah, you only have him for 1 year.
All right. Meanwhile, Debo, 10 minutes ago, so let's move on.
Mailbag question from SLC87. Skull! Dear sirs, the Pick Six podcast is one of the best NFL podcasts is one of the best NFL podcasts around. Sorry, I can't read. I listen to every show and love the banter between y'all. Do you think this year's draft will really show the difference between teams that scout well and in advance and those who don't? Skull! Vikings, Sam Langley, Clifford.
I think all teams scout well. I mean, they have huge scouting departments and they've been doing this for over a year.
They just don't draft well.
That's right. And I think what happens, and when you talk to people, what you find out is that what happens is that coaches come to the party late, because coaches aren't scouting these guys. Coaches don't get involved until after the season's over. Coaches come late to the party, and then they're guys that they love, and that may create some friction with what the scouting department likes. And then also, and this may be less an example this year because it's these opportunities are fewer and far between with no combine as we're used to seeing it, and pro days being a little different. Sometimes front office guys fall in love with guys they see have good pro days. So that could still happen. I mean, Travis Etienne and Clemson had their pro day on Thursday. Etienne ran an official 4.4, and I'm sure that'll make some people excited. But I think what'll happen is the teams that are on the same page the best will probably have the most success in terms of trusting what the scouts have been doing for 12, 13, 14 months now, as opposed to there being friction in the draft room with guys who haven't watched all these players as closely because they're coaches or whatever. And maybe that happens with teams that are with new coaching staffs and new front offices. We'll have to see how this unfolds. The thing about this is you won't know for 2 or 3 or 4 years, but I don't think, all teams like scout, they have 10, 15, 20 scouts and all that other stuff. So I think that's not going to be the issue. The issue is just people being on the same page.
I will just say that I don't think the Bengals have 20 scouts.
No. I mean, I think you'll see, I don't know if it's advanced scouting, but I do think you'll see maybe people trust the film a little bit more. I think they did that last year to a certain extent. I mean, I've never felt less knowledgeable about a draft. Like in my entire life, not as a professional, but like less knowledgeable in a draft than really this year's draft. And I don't know if that's a byproduct of there being less college football, guys opting out, it being a weird draft class that's not particularly – I mean, like, does this draft – I don't feel like this draft class is good.
Well, I'll also say that good. Real quick that you're talking about, if you opted out, that means these people have not played football since – December 2019.
Two of the top offensive linemen, like guys who'll be taken in the top 10, haven't played football since December 2019.
And so by the time you're back on the field, it's been more than 18 months. I mean, 20 months. So you have no idea what that kind of time off. And football's not an easy sport to like stay in shape for unless you're actually playing football.
Imagine how hard the 80-yard kicker guy has to work to stay in shape.
But I mean, like, think about these offensive linemen, because you see dudes, all these, every single one of these dudes, like Joe Thomas or Jordan Gross, they retire and immediately lose 89 pounds. Just, like, within a week. So, I mean, how is Penei Sewell just pounding, like, Whataburgers or whatever else?
I will say this. Debo and I talked to Levi Onwuzurike, who's a defensive tackle out of Washington, and I asked him, I said, so what has been better for you? Playing, like he opted out, playing in 2020, would that have been better for you? Or going straight to the facility that your agent's paying $20,000 a month or whatever it costs to get you, you know, get you in shape, have all these trainers, you're training for all these drills, your whatever, your diet's taken care of. And he said, I wanted to play with my teammates, blah, 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 but this has actually been good. And you talk to agents like, this may happen more often, like guys just opting out, because what's in it for them?
Injury risk way down.
I don't know. I have no idea where the name, image, likeness conversation is. I don't pay much attention to that. Right. So I don't know how far along that is, but if these guys aren't getting paid, what? Yeah, exactly. What are you doing?
That's a good point. I don't know that the advanced scouting will show up so much as I think that you will get the people who are, so the issue that you hear about from these teams, and Ryan, maybe you can speak more to this, but the problem for these scouts is that they haven't, usually they get on a campus and they talk to all these people around campus, on campus, you know, coaches, friends, cafeteria workers. They find out everything they can about these players to, you know, because NFL teams are psychotic and they believe that, you know, you can find out what these people are like when the lights aren't on them and when they're off the field. And that matters from a character standpoint and all of that. So like that's sort of the, like you really don't have the opportunity to trust that. You're meeting with these guys over Zoom. You're going off of the film and the tape. And so I think guys who have, you know, there's no combine, right? I mean, I think that the tape, it's not so much advanced scouting so much as like you're going to maybe see distinguished who are the best teams at identifying quality players based on film study. Does that make sense? Does that seem fair?
Yeah, and a lot of these scouts I talked to weren't able to go to practice during the fall because of the pandemic.
Exactly.
They would go to the games, but I mean, you can't go to the game and learn much. You can see a player up close and personal. You can see him on the field, see what he looks like. But yeah, I mean, if you're
in the box, you're wearing a mask, you're not.
And if you're interested in the safety, what are you going to watch the safety for 50 snaps? But you can't replay it. So you're going to go back and watch the film anyway when you get it. So you're sort of just getting the feel of the person. Maybe you have a chance to talk with some assistant coaches or maybe you don't, but that's sort of what has been lost, but that's lost for every team. So then again, it goes back to relationships and who do you know and how.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Like so like Bill Belichick can call basically any school, call a coach and be like, hey, it's Bill Belichick. And like, you know, obviously he knows Nick Saban. You know, he's very.
Yeah, there was a thing last year. He went to like some small school in Tennessee and worked some guy out in the rain. Like there's a
Middle place. Tennessee State there right down go. The street from me.
Hey, he came to Raleigh. He was grinding in the indoor practice facility over by Carter Finley.
There you go.
Yeah. He and Dave Doran are buddies apparently. All right. So that's probably how it will affect it. It will certainly be different. Not as different. Actually, I guess it would be more different than last year because You had the whole season.
Yeah.
You just had to change things up in March.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, more mailbag.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's petmeds.com and promo code podcast.
All right. Five star pick six. Oh, I read that wrong. Runner 1478 says best NFL show out there. Thank you. Question. Assuming crowds get closer to normal this coming season, are you guys expecting to try to take advantage of either overcompensating or slow to compensate sports books? I think what he's saying is that do we think that sports books will properly adjust to fans in the stands? Preach.
I think this is an interesting question because I think this happens every year, the first 1, 2, 3 weeks of the season, no matter what. You're really just trying to compensate how teams react to anything, what their changes mean, because you look at last season without fans. Home teams had a losing record for the first time ever. They won 127 games, lost 128 games, and there was one tie. But then you look at 2019, home teams went 132, 123, and one. So it was only a 5-game difference between a year where there was no fans and a year where, you know, every stadium was sold out. So it's hard to kind of gauge what kind of difference fans really make. Maybe a few teams, if you have a rookie quarterback who, you know, just getting the NFL, all of a sudden they're playing in front of crowds after not playing in front of any crowds in college. So there could be an adjustment period for quarterbacks. And I think that's something you should always watch. And week one or two there may be teams that you can value more because, there's some sort of adjustment period where Vegas is either overvaluing or undervaluing them. So I don't think it's independent of the fans coming back. It's just something you should watch out for each year, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting one, Breach, because I've sort of been wondering this as it relates to the PGA Tour. All these young guys who have sort of come onto the tour in the last year have sort of won – like Colin Morikawa won his major at the PGA Championship at Harding Park with no fans. Like, it's a whole different ball game if there are fans in their galleries following you around, like throngs of people watching every shot. And so I sort of wonder how that will affect those guys. And I think
to your point, sorry to interrupt you, but I was actually thinking about this, because back in the day when Tiger was a thing, the Tiger roar is what would upset so many other players on the course. You don't have to worry about that now.
No, you would be like,
you would have to step away from your tee shot or your putt.
To Augusta. I have. But like you, and I was on a
you, practice. You are the poster person for someone who's definitely been to Augusta. We know that. You
twice. On my own dime as a patron. Thank you. CBS won't let me go.
Wonder why.
Shocked. You can hear the, like when something happens anywhere on the course, it is that roar that they talk about is legitimate. Like you can hear it coming. And that's what the Tiger thing was. It was, like, you knew where Tiger was. Tiger makes a big shot, and all of a sudden, everyone is peeing down their leg because they know that Tiger's on the prowl.
A little more effective than looking up at the leaderboard and seeing the old guy change the numbers. Oh, Tiger got a birdie on 16. I should worry.
Right. So I think that's really interesting with these young quarterbacks. you know, now they've probably all played enough in college atmospheres that it's not as big a deal, but certainly I think that'll make a difference. I mean, you hear from all these players and coaches that playing in this season was really, it felt like a souped up practice, you know, like an official, like an official scrimmage or something like that, which is a vastly different environment. As far as the sports books go, I don't think there will be a massive adjustment as it relates to the fans in particular, but we have seen in certain cases that you can get, like, you can get an advantage over the book. For instance, early on in the season, there was some thought process that with the minimal practice time that we would see a lot of unders hit, but the NFL sort of, you know, gave a wink, wink, nudge, nudge to the officials and were like, don't call holding. And with no holding calls being called, overs where everything was flying over early on. And so I think, what I'm saying is that there's a chance that home field advantage could be improved if stadiums are full. But I think that home field advantage had largely been nullified enough in most spots that there will not be a significant sportsbook advantage. But I think it's a very good question.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Five-star pick six mailbag question from a Lions fan. I am so sorry. This is from B-dubs4, from Brandon Worth in Reed City, Michigan. Thank you for including that at the top. If you want your name read, include that. Thanks, Brandon. First off, absolutely love your guys' show. Appreciate you. The in-depth analysis, avid passion, and hysterical comedy brings awesome content to my daily drives. Keep up the great work. Strong emoji! For my question, as a Lions fan, the last couple of years have been nothing short of tough. What experiences have you guys had where your team is in rough shape, oh boy? And what do you do to stay positive during that time? If you also want to state your thoughts on what the Lions should do to rebuild, I'm all ears. I think that's a laughing emoji plus thumbs up, although it may be crying emoji.
Before Breach goes on a 40-minute rant about what it's like to be a Bengals fan, I'll just give you – because my teams are generally pretty popular – successful, I should say. But
By the way, Wilson ran a blog called —
you say this every 6 months —
Socks Steelers Heels dot heels, blogspot.
Heels Socks Steelers. It's still there.
That is a repulsive three teams, by the way.
But here's the thing. I am a Tar Heels basketball fan. Growing up, I didn't hear so much about Tar Heels football, probably because they were terrible. But growing up in North Carolina during Michael Jordan's heyday, I was 8 or 9. But anyway, the 2001-2002 season, UNC Tar Heels basketball with the illustrious Matt Doherty as coach, one of the worst decisions ever in Carolina basketball history. That team went 8-20. And this is a little tougher if you're a Lions fan, because this is asking you to do.
I'm sorry. Are you tossing up Carolina's one lone bad season in the —
no, he's asking how you dealt with it
as a way to deal with your struggles.
No.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not done. He's asking how you dealt with it.
Here's as a Lions fan, you're like, well, one time the Carolina only won 8 games, and then they got back with 5 more championships in the next decade.
I didn't finish.
Okay, finish.
And then they bounced back with 2 more championships, not 5.
And so then I drank some more Pinot Grigio and had some Gruyere.
You're wearing a Masters shirt.
It's not a player.
Let's be honest here, Ryan. I've been cheering for a team that has 31 rough years.
Before we get to the big, look, the Bengals are clearly the big choice. I want to
see. Can I just finish? I just want to finish my point. So they went 8-20.
Finish.
Yeah. I mean, here's some of the names from that team. I had to look it up because I tried to block it out. Chris Lang. Remember Chris Lang?
Yeah, of course.
Adam Boone used to
make my favorite Carolina season of all time.
Exactly. Matt Doherty was a disaster. And it is unfair to ask a Lions fan or even a Bengals fan to do this, but I made myself watch every single game because I knew they would turn it around at some point. So I sat through all 28 disastrous games, every ass whooping they took, because I knew there'd be sunnier days. But as the words leave my mouth, I understand as a Lions fan, that's not an option for your mental health. As a Bengals fan, I know Breach doesn't watch every single minute of the Bengals games, probably for his mental health. I get that. But that's what I did. That was my personal experience because I was answering the question. So there you go.
Okay. So look, just for the record, I mean, I wouldn't care that you're your example, except it's ridiculous because it's Carolina. Like, they fired Matt Doherty after one more year, after the 8-20 season. And it, like, honest to God, I mean, I was in college and at NC State, we all thought that the Carolina, we're like, it's over, Carolina's done. And then Michael Jordan called Roy Williams and said, because Carolina tried to get him to come from Kansas when Dean retired, and he said no. He called him and said, Roy, it's time to come home. And Roy, despite not wanting to leave Kansas, left Kansas, won a national title in his second year. And then, so the 2 years after Ryan's horrible 8-win season, they won a national title. And then he won another national title in 2008. And by the way, he's been to two more national title games since then. I want to quickly point out that I feel your pain as a Lions fan. As an NC State sucks. We are mediocre. We are the definition of mediocrity, not breach the definition of like bottom of the barrel, like the Bengals, but NC State is just mediocre. We're always just average, never overachieved.
NC State has won a national title
in 1983.
Does that count? No, those don't count.
That is more recent than both the Lions and Bengals have won a championship.
What? The 80-yard kicker just dunked on you.
But what I was going to say is that, so as a kid, I grew up as a Duke fan. And which is natural
about that. Yeah, natural.
But so, like, I was born in 1981.
I love Christian Laettner.
I love Christian Laettner. So,
of course you do.
In 1991 and 1992, my favorite, as a 10 and 11 year old, my favorite team in sports won a national title game. I have a signed ball right here by the 1992 Duke team. Christian Laettner, baby. I went to Bobby Hurley basketball camp. Total douche.
Well, let me tell you a quick story about that 92 team. Okay. It'll take 2 seconds. I was at William & Mary. I was a freshman. I knew one of the basketball players from Greensboro, Thomas Roberts, who played for William & Mary. Got me tickets over Christmas break. I sat like second row behind the bench at Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Yeah.
The first five times, and William & Mary is a Division I team. The first five times down the court were all Grant Hill dunks. And
oh my God. Grant Hill's better.
And you're like, okay, that team is a lot better than this team, and it's not even close.
Yeah. So I got two national titles there. In 1995, the Braves, who were a great team in like my early teens, won a World Series. At the age of 14, I was under the impression that you just won titles. You know, titles are just, you just get titles. It happens all the time. Here's a title. Here's a title.
I find
this guy is a Lions fan. He doesn't even know what a title is.
I know, but what I'm saying is that
I find it hard to believe that Brinson grew up entitled, but go ahead.
Right. So entitled to titles. And then I went to college and I became an NC State fan. And I got to tell you, I mean, like, I mean, those titles feel like a long time ago and aren't as meaningful as an NC State title would be. Like, I feel your pain. It's almost better to have be like Breach, to have never loved than to actually have loved and lost.
I mean, see, basically this guy is asking, hey, I have a gunshot wound. I want to know how to rehab. And you guys got paper cuts once and are trying to empathize
just
with
put
him.
Put a Band-Aid on it. You'll be fine.
Just hire Roy Williams.
No, I mean, we don't know how old Brandon Worth is, but I think I'm probably the only one that can relate to him because if he is under the age of 30, he has never seen the Lions win a playoff game. If he's under the age of 50, which I'm assuming he is, he's seen them win one playoff game. It's miserable. The only way I stay happy is by drinking. The Bengals have driven me to alcoholism. I'm saying, no, it's not that bad, but you know what is funny is that usually at the end of the season, especially a year, you know, the Bengals went 4-11-1. They lost their starting quarterback to injury. It's another lost season. And you're thinking, will anything positive ever happen? And what I do is I just watch a highlight video and I'm like, okay, so they're good. Sometimes they are capable of making good plays. If they could make multiple good plays in the same game, maybe they'll be good next year. And the thing I love about the NFL is that it really does feel like you have a chance every year, even if you really don't. Like you,
I was going to ask you. So do you feel every offseason right around this time, right around free agency in the draft that, okay, this is the year they can put it all together, the Bengals can?
I mean, last year I thought they could finish third place top. So I didn't think they were, and I said, you know, like, I don't remember what I told you guys, like 8-8. I said 10-6 was their ceiling, but I thought they'd go like 6-10 or 7-9. And so like, try to be a little bit realistic. And I didn't have high expectations last year, but like, I genuinely think they could compete for a playoff spot this year. My optimism is high. And if you're a Lions fan, you should feel the same way. And that's the thing in the NFL, anything can happen. We just saw Washington win the NFC East with a 7-9 record and they played like four starting quarterbacks. So if you can win a division with four starting quarterbacks, that means anything is possible. So Brandon, just keep sucking it up, man. Hopefully the Lions get a playoff win before you turn like 70.
As for a rebuild, I mean, honestly, I think one of the problems with the Lions, and this is true of like a lot of broken franchises, is that all the external problems and on-field problems are probably cover up some of the things that are wrong inside the building. You know what I mean? Who's the personnel guy? I always forget his name, but he's the team president. He's like, I'm not a football guy. I don't really get into, I'm not big into football. And then he was like involved in cutting Marvin Hall last year.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I know.
So I think the Lions have that going on and I'm a little worried that it's not going to fix itself. You sort of have to get lucky and hope that, with Jared Goff serving as a bridge quarterback, you can find another quarterback. They need some stability. They need some.
And by the way, Dan Campbell doesn't scream stability, but maybe he's the exact opposite of Matt Patricia. So maybe that's what they need. I mean, it's just so hard to tell.
If I was a Lions coach, I would be excited. Or if I was a Lions fan, I would be excited about Dan Campbell because you're getting like that enthusiasm, that craziness that you kind of want to embrace that gets you excited about the season. Dan Campbell might be a flop, but he is going to be a spectacular flop if he does flop. And that's at least something to be exciting about.
I feel like the Lions had kind of made stride. I mean, they went 9-7, right? Back-to-back years.
Really? Did they?
They'd kind of made strides and then Patricia and Bob Quinn really set them back. So what you hope is that was just two guys being terrible at their jobs and.
But that's been the conversation as Breach has noted for the last 30 years. Two guys being terrible at their jobs and just torpedoing the organization one way or another.
Here's some hope. Aaron Rodgers is old. How about that?
Yeah, boy.
Once Aaron Rodgers is out of that division, that it's wide open. You know, like you're up against Kirk Cousins, whatever the Bears have at quarterback.
You say that, but we just had a conversation about 2 years ago, Andrew Luck's going to retire and Carson Wentz is going to take, like, you have no idea what's going to happen. Like, that I mean, Tom Brady could go play for the Packers. No.
He could go play for the Lions.
He could go play for the Lions. Motown. Ryan. Maybe he wants to revive Motown.
Don't
He's done everything
Lions.
Else in his career. It's time to save the Lions.
Save Detroit.
All right, we got to bounce because Wilson has soccer practice.
Yeah, me personally. One-man soccer practice. I got to take my kids soccer practice.
But before we go, I should point out the Mount Paramount. You've seen it? Mount Paramount with Bill Cowher, James Corden, Patrick Stewart, and Beavis and Butthead. Yes, it is quite the squad. And they are repping at the top of the mountain, Paramount Plus, live sports, breaking news, and a mountain of entertainment. Go straight from the game day to movie night. Paramount Plus, stream iconic movies like The Godfather, Indiana Jones and Mission Impossible, plus new episodes of critically acclaimed original series like Star Trek, Picard, The Good Fight, and The Stand. And if you want to dive into live athletic competition from us at CBS Sports, you can do so with the NFL, March Madness, The Masters, and Champions League Soccer, plus stream hit shows from CBS, Nickelodeon, MTV, BET, Smithsonian Channel, Comedy Central, live sports, breaking news, and a mountain of entertainment. Paramount Plus is streaming now. What's the best thing you've watched on Paramount Plus in the last week, Wilson? Because they should be trotting us out for these ads because we watch it.
You know what I watched last night? For real? Hawaii 5-0. old school Hawaii 5-0.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was never my jam back in the day. It's a little before my time in the 70s. But yeah, it was good, man. It was good.
All right, Breach, lie about one thing you've watched on Paramount Plus in the last week.
I watched Aerial America Alabama because we were mad because it is never on TV. So we watched it on – it's where they show all the state from and they give you facts about it. And like we see all of the states come up and my wife is from Alabama. And we're like, why don't they ever show Alabama on the Smithsonian Channel? And we're like, maybe it's on the app. And it was on the app. So we watched it.
Aerial America is great napping programming. It's very calm.
We watched it on Saturday.
That's the best time to watch it.
I will say that the other thing that you can check out and, part of this Viacom family, the Showtime app, you can install it on your smart TV. Billions and billions and billions.
Your Honor with Walter White is also very good.
I started that. Oh my goodness. That first scene is,
Lord.
Dark.
And have mercy. Today's March 12th. Get your free 30 days right now because that will take you through the end of the Masters, which ends on April 11th. You get all your sports. Then you should decide to keep it after that. But you'll get this is the perfect time to sign up for that free 30 days.
Yep, and that's right. And if you tweet your favorite Bengals player to Breach, at John Breach, he will give you a free month of Paramount Plus. So go do that. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will talk to you Monday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.